Awesome. So yes, so we run, it's actually, we flow out of the Cambridge Vineyard, but we're a church within a church. Okay? We're called Urban Hope, and really our church is a street ministry. Okay? So that is our logo of Urban Hope. So I'm going down. Go right. Right on. There we go. Okay. So we are a place that we provide within all of, we have, well, obviously locally in Cambridge, but we have people come from the whole area. We'll have people come in from Brantford, Kitchener, Waterloo, but obviously we center in Cambridge. So we provide the whole local community with laundry facilities, a shower, that's actually our new shower. It's a kind of a small picture there. A grocery room, so we see the stock of the groceries in the room. And I just want to let you know, we are not government run. We preach the gospel. We share God's love, right? And so a lot of our funding does not come from the government, because when you fill out those lovely grants, they don't want you sharing the gospel. We had even, if I'm saying, because I usually share a little bit, for about 10-15 minutes before grace, and then we pray over the food. Even if somebody's in the washroom or in the shower and they hear me praying over the food, that they've said that in one of the grants. So we are really relying on God to supply. Okay? So we have a gentleman, that's actually when we got a stock of our skids that came in, that actually just blesses us. He purchases food for us. He gets it actually in a St. Catharines area. And they call it a hands out. And so we go, he purchased us some skids, and we go up and get them. So we get that about once a month. That goes really fast because we're open 6 days a week. Sure. Right? So as you see, we have clothing. That's our old clothing room. I'm going to show you our new clothing room. And then hot meals. We have, again, laundry, showers, clothing. We have furniture. And I will continue to show you those other pictures. We have haircuts. Yeah, we got the whole shebang going on, right? So as soon as you walk in, right over here, you see the little coffee cup. You walk in, that's our little cafe. When you walk in, you get introduced. Well, sometimes we have to de-escalate people from their wherever they're coming from, whether they just came out of a tent and fought because someone unfortunately did some, you know, I don't want to say everything, but, you know, there's aggressiveness. So our goal is to de-escalate them right when they walk in the door. Right? Hi, how are you? Say their name. How can I serve you today? Right? So, in short, how I wanted to explain how Urban Hope started. Right? So, my husband and I have three children, and when they were younger, because we come from missionary background, we did Youth with a Mission. And any of you guys familiar with Youth with a Mission?
YWAMers?
YWAMers. So, and we always wanted to teach our kids to look outward, right? So when they're still a little small, we started actually down at Food Basics down in Galt. Remember the very first time? And we bought packaged stuff to give out to people that were going in. I knew some of the people because I used to work at A&P, so they're regular employees there. And so they allowed us to do it, and we offered to pray for people, right? Bless them, pray for them, any way we can support you. Then we prayed about it, and we said, you know what? We want to hit a wider range of our community. So we felt the Lord tell us to go in front of the bus terminal. So that's what we did for years until COVID. 9 years. 9 years. So we had, you get all forms of everything. Little, small, different, those that work the streets, to those, you know, everybody. So we did that for 9 years. And so while we were out there, it was... We made some really powerful relationships that we're in today. I would say, I want to explain one girl, she calls me mom, her name's Becky, quite close to her. So she actually used to work the streets, okay, and I got quite close to her. She's given her life to the Lord, still discipling her. We walked a lot together, and she ended up marrying another guy that we met on the streets, Gord, if you want to mention how you, is that live?
Yeah, it's live.
Okay.
So as Christine was alluding to, we would set up like a table like this in front of the bus terminal. We'd be out twice a month for like 9 years through the hail, sleet, rain, sun,
Christmas
beating down
Day.
On us, you know. And so we did that for 9 years to establish connections, relationships with people from all walks of life that would come to and from the bus terminal. And they would come and say, what are you guys about? Say, hey, you know what? We just love Jesus and Jesus loves you. We're here to serve you. Here's some hot chili, sandwiches, pop, whatever it is you need. It's here. Water. We did all that. Prayed for people. So Gord. So there was this guy that was kind of hanging out in the background there. He's bald, you know, glasses, kind of tough guy. And he's a survivor. He lived the streets for years, Montreal. And he would go binning. Binning is basically jumping in the garbage can and pulling out scraps of meat or whatever just to survive. He has two kids. Son, he cannot see anymore, but he's living on Park Hill Drive up in Preston with his daughter. And so how we met Gord was I noticed this fellow just kind of out in the background, and some of our volunteers were already talking to Gord and praying for him and everything. And I'm there looking at him, and all of a sudden, I get this vision. I just get this vision from Jesus. And I'm like, okay. So I go up to Gord and I said, hey man, I just came up and gave him a hug. Remember that? I came up to him and said, hey man, I heard your name's Gord. And I just gave him, and right away Gord's like this. He's all rigid like a 2x4 and his fist is clenched. He's a survivor, so he's also a fighter. Right? So he's like this, but I just came and I hung. And when I give hugs, it's real. Like, you'll feel me pressing into you. I don't give no limp handshake or anything like that, right? I give it, it's real. So I gave him a hug and I said, I'm so glad you're here. And I said, can I pray for you? And he was like, he didn't know what to take of me, right? I was like, yeah, okay, like this, right? So the vision that I had that Jesus gave me that I shared to Gore was, I said, I see you in a prison cell. And you're on the floor, your head's down, and I see shackles and fetters, like, you know, in the Christmas Carol, Jacob Marley, right? That's what I saw all over him, right? Completely weighed down. And I saw Jesus from the outside walking through the bars. Hey, if he could walk through a door, he can walk through bars. He walks in, kneels down in front of Gord, and he says, my son. And with his nail-scarred hands, he just lifts his head, and he just says, give me your burden. So I prayed this over Gord, and his jaw just, like, hit the asphalt or sidewalk. I think it was a sidewalk. And he said, how did you ever know I was in prison? I don't know you from a hole in a wall. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I said, Gord, it's not me. This is what Jesus is telling me about you. And since that day, 9 years ago, he's been a faithful friend of ours. We've been on a relational journey with him. He's a tough guy, right? He's a street guy, right? He's like, I got two fists. Love to hit, hate to miss, right? This kind of personality, right? Really tough. But you know what? Who doesn't have rough edges? I still have rough edges that God wants to, you know, remove the calluses, right? We're all imperfect, right? But he has been with us since that day, and he trusts us. He would, you know what? He would take the shirt off his back for us, because why? He sees that we are the real deal, right? There's no fake about us, you know what I mean? And a lot of our friends in our community at Urban Hope, they see the same thing. We had one guy who would literally go in the bathroom and shoot up, right? His name, we called him Roofer Mike. Man, he was like tattooed, muscular, like this, right? And because we kept pouring grace, mercy, and love upon him, he said, you know what? Man, you know what? The love, I can't get over this love that you guys are exuding. And because of that, I've chosen not to shoot up in your bathroom anymore. And it's like, wow, man, that's awesome. You know, and this other guy. So we're doing street ministry at the bus terminal. So at one time I had really long dreadlocks. And so you might see this guy. He's called the General. He's Jamaican. He's got really long dreadlocks. And he has a brown leather vest, Jamaican flag. Really nice guy. He's got like gold in his teeth. His fingers are all full of rings and everything. Like it really put a divot in your skull kind of thing. But anyhow, so we were out there and he was watching us and, you know, we're giving out food and everything. And he came up to me and he goes, hey man, for a white boy, you look really good in dreads, right? So he said, you know, I've been watching you guys. He says, I'm the general, and a lot of people know me on the streets. He says, I really love what you're doing, man. You guys are it. You guys are it. And he said, is there anybody giving you a hassle? You just let them know that the general knows, right? And I was like, and you know what? This guy, the general, his name is Giovanni, but he still comes. He'll come through our door. And he said, one of the biggest reasons why I'm here, because of the love that I feel. Everywhere I go, I'm rejected because I'm black, I'm Jamaican, whatever, right? But it's the love that has brought me here. And you know what? I'm not preaching the four spiritual laws. You know what I mean? I'm just living it out as best as I can to be that example. What is it? What is it where you go, if you want to preach the gospel, don't do much talking, but just live it out, right? Exactly. Live it. And that's what they see. You know, has it been easy? Absolutely not. But we choose to be in community with them. We don't look at it as, oh, this is our outreach. No, this is life. We are doing life with them and beside them. Do we have all the answers? Absolutely not. But yeah, so I'll add more, but I don't want to take up too much time.
We're both dangerous when you give us a mic. So, yeah. So, Gord, yeah, if we were to call him right now, he would be right here. What, you want me to move it?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So, okay, I'll let him be proper. And Becky that I was telling you about too, which is wild that I met on the streets, who used to serve on the streets, right, and came off the streets, and I've been doing life with her. So her and Becky and Gord end up getting married. Wow. It's been, you know, ups and downs because they both come from a horrific background of abuse, but we have mentored them. It's been, you know, she was down there today saying how well they're doing. She's lost her children and now she's gained a daughter from marrying Gord. And it's been, you know, welcome to life. There's ups and downs, but they're doing fantastic, so much better one day at a time, right? And they can speak each other's language. You know, because they both live the streets and they know about it. But this is what we do. We continue to do life. You know, I was he was his best man. I was the maid of honor, right, in their wedding and walking it through. So, and then I also want to share, before I get right into the building of Urban Hope, we also, Dawn ended up meeting her on the streets. When I saw her, we took her, we did life with her. She gave her life to the Lord and she ended up getting pregnant again. Because already her four kids were taken from her from the past. And as soon as she got pregnant again, family services jump in. The normal cycle continues and they want to work on the process of taking the child away, right? We went to family services and said, what will it take for us to make sure Dawn keeps her child? We will wrap around her. They said, we would like you to give her 24-hour supervision. And we did. We gave her a place to live. One of our family members from our church took her in. We had 15 women for 3 months, gave 24-hour supervision. And we, when she had the child, we taught her how to bond with the child. And within 3 months, the books were closed. Yeah. And now that's, how old is, I think she's seven now, 7 or 8. Right. And not only that, Dawn now has helped take in other children for us. This past month, we had to take in 2 children because there's some abuse in the family. So we've now took in two other children of people within our congregation have taken them in. Even Kylie, who runs a daycare at our church, one of them took the children in. So we have favor with family service now. So they actually call us. Some people we don't even know. They said, do you know this girl? She just had a baby in the hospital. Are you guys working with her? He said, because we don't know everybody, obviously. So we get called in now, you know, because many times we would go to someone's house and I would go buy a check if they've been drinking. What do you call that thing you blow into? Thank you, Bressel. I sign off for them because family service doesn't have time to do that, right? And I said, yep, they've been clean. They've been clean, right? So many times we've had people get their children back. If they don't get their children back, we've had friends that have taken them in and they can still see their children. Sometimes there is a situation where the parent does leave and the addiction does overtake them, right? Unfortunately, that's life too, but we do our part, right? The last one we did, one of the last ones was Amy. Actually, how I met Amy, she came into Urban Hope. She was so high at the time. And I sat there and she was homeless and she was crying. And I prayed for her and I asked her to see Jesus because she had some background, and she had a living encounter with God sitting in front of me, and she sobered up. She was totally high, guys. She completely sobered up in front of my face. That's God, right? And Father God just ministered her. She was weeping. We ended up wrapping around her. She got her son back. Then she got pregnant again, and things got a little rough. And we took the son and the twins. She had twins, and she went to Teen Challenge because we went to family service, and he said, "What can we do so that she can keep her children?" And we said, "We will pay for her to go to a rehab that will help change her life." So she went to Teen Challenge for the year. She came back. She got all three children. And we're still doing life with her. So, you know, reality, you got your ups and bumps, but you don't give up. If they're willing to be workable. There's some that have left, you know, and there's some that are people have adopted children because they've left, right? But we like to keep the door open and work with them until, you know, so we do life. We do family services. And one of the videos, you'll have a girl that even shares, another girl that will share her story and how we helped her get her child. So that door opened from dawn when we were out doing street ministry in front of the bus terminal, right? So in that process, so we ended up getting the basement of the Cambridge Vineyard, again, where you're seeing our facility. We took that over in 2015. Did you know it was 2015?
No,
there you go. It was September 2015. So we were doing lunches on Sundays and Tuesdays, and we're serving the poor like you see here, right? The hot meals and all that. And we're really praying that we would be able to extend, but we're all volunteer base, right? I'm actually the only one that gets paid, and I get paid through our big walk Coldest Night of the Year, right? If you guys are familiar with Coldest Night of the Year. So, and then my cook now gets a little bit of payment because during COVID, which guys, we were able to run during COVID, which was amazing. Yeah. So because our very first walk of Coldest Night of the Year, we raised enough money to kind of get a portion to get our new kitchen, because our kitchen was small. And we're feeding 200 people hot meals, and it was small. Like, I've had cooks show up and say, "I can't work in your kitchen," right? So COVID ended up being a blessing for us because we were able to get our new kitchen renovated. Well, actually, at that time, the Waterloo Food Bank was making packaged meals, and they were sending them over, which was a real blessing because we did have to serve from outside, allowing somebody in to have a shower. We would bring clothes out to them. You know, we had to follow the rules, right? So, but they never lacked a meal. And I tell you, when the closing shops were shut down, my lineups were like down the driveway for clothes during COVID, right? And then what happened was in 2021, which is awesome. Have you guys heard of Nightlight? It used to run downtown Galt from Jeff Heslin. So Nightlight got shut down because of COVID, right? And it just kind of kaputed because you couldn't come together and that. So we got together with some other churches, talked with Jeff, and he ran also his own ministry called Mission to the Margins, which is what Alex comes to, right? So Jeff, we partnered together, and he started running in the evenings of Urban Hope. He started on Thursday and Saturday night, which is awesome. So now we have four hot meals going out, like 4 days a week, the showers, the clothings, you name it, right? We continued to pray, and then they were able to now do a Monday night. And I have connections with His Presence Church because I believe working with the whole body of Christ, why not? That's why Jesus sees us as one, right? And His Presence Church is now does Wednesday nights for us. So we're open now 6 days a week. And that is phenomenal. We're talking hot meals. Not only that, the showers. The showers are huge. Guys go 6 months without showers, if not longer. They've come to me and says, "Oh, like I'll be in the summer, the end of summer, September," and guy goes, "I haven't had a shower since Christmas." Right? And some of our guys, because they're so traumatized, they can't be around the big crowd. So a lot of times when I'm down there, I'm following Plan to Protect. You know, there's enough staff, we're sorting clothes, we're doing this. We'll say, "Come at this time, have a shower." Right? And then we were able to pray with them and minister to them. So So that is, let's see. Oh, so this is just showing our stats even from last year. Right there, how many hot meals went out. That's average. Honestly, we don't get them all because not everybody charts it down, especially with the different groups, right? So that's why we will put plus this, plus that. So yeah, so you got the hot meals, you got the clothing. I you guys probably can't see. So over like 20,000 clothing items, laundries are nonstop, 14 showers, groceries is nonstop. And so many times people are asking for hampers and we just go, we don't mark it down, right? We're just, I get calls constantly, can I get a hamper? Can I get a hamper? So we go drop it off at their place, right? So especially during COVID, oh my gosh, that was like flying off the shelf. So that's what we got here. That talks about what we need for volunteers. And just volunteers, we always need volunteers, especially in the evenings too. I know Jeff is always looking for extra volunteers, so you can talk to me or we can talk more and work on that connection. You know, we join us in mealtime. Sometimes people always say, can I get my hands dirty? Can I do stuff? I said, sometimes can you come down and just have a relationship, right? Listen to someone's story, connect, disciple somebody. You know, they're so lonely, honestly. They feel like everybody looks at them like a project. They're not a project, right? They're our people. And Jesus died for them. So if those are things we're looking for. And they know that. They know that. We know, you know, I'm no better than the next person. It's only God's grace where I am, right? So that's just on the practical end of things. And just saying, you know, even at Christmas time, if anybody wants to invest at Christmas, like we gave out 250 filled Christmas bags this year. That's on my day. Jeff did another 100, right? And then we do Seeds of Hope, which we try to give tons of toys and clothes to whatever family signs up. We give them turkeys, hams. Again, and this is not government run. This is the mercy of the body of Christ that helps out. Okay, so whatever we've had, you know, we have Turks to Lumber has blessed us many times. Turks to Lumber last year, we did a barbecue. They did a barbecue. They paid for everything. We just had to get our guys down there and we made like a couple thousand, which was a huge blessing, right? Simple things like we give out tents like crazy. We give out food cards, sock underwear. Oh my gosh. You know, especially male underwear, right? We never have enough. We never have enough. A male clothes, because you guys don't get rid of them. You're not like females. You got ripped up in Timbuktu. It's still my favorite pair of jeans. Right? Yeah. So I know it's true. And even when I go to used stores, I'm like, want to go get some male clothes because we're so low. It's always a short little window, right? They still keep them because someday they will fit again. So yeah, and that is going, like I was saying, like we got a lot of refugees coming in. We are packed with Nigerians right now. We got a ton of Nigerians and they like high-end clothes. But it's just, we're packed. Our numbers are just going through the roof. And think that's 6 days a week. So, and we serve children, we serve everybody, you know, so, yeah. So that's that. So it continues to show you about support and our numbers and coldest night of the year. That is really what keeps us going. I mean, obviously God keeps us going, right? But our big coldest night of the year, if you guys ever feel the unction of the Lord prompting you, we have other churches that will walk with us. That really carries us through financially. To do what we do, right? This year we walked away with $45,000. But I mean, that's paying for heat, hydro, you know, food, our salaries of some of us that do get paid a little bit, you know, from everything, tents, you name it, it's everything. And rentals. So we just got a new rental. No, that's mostly, oh, so I'm talking about needs. That's what we need, socks, underwear, blankets, towels, backpacks, tents, tarps, shower supply, anything from, you know, deodorant, toothbrushes. We take it all. What's that?
Toiletries.
Especially guys out on the streets, right? all of that. We cannot keep sleeping bags or tarps or any of that. We totally take use. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. So this here is our brand new clothing room. So we just got a Urban Hope Boutique. And yeah, we just did renovation on that. Forward, we're talking about Forward. They just gave us $15,000 so that we could do that. We had to top it off. We're a little bit in the hole now, but that's, you know, God will supply. That's our prayer room right there. We just finished our prayer room over here. So I like to, you know, keep the place with worship going, trying to. And so when our guys come in with their minds a little crazy, they're not at peace, they're full of anxiety, come, let's rest in the presence of the Lord together, right? The door's open, we pray with people, we minister to people. It's a safe place. That's us showing outside. That gentleman that blessed us with all that food I told you, he buys the stuff from St. Catharines area. He bled us with a big container. So we do furniture. It is very busy with furniture. So furniture is nonstop, but we are constantly doing pickups and dropping off for people. You know, we do it all. We've done a lot of refugees. We've done a lot of our homeless. You name it. Beds go like hotcakes, right? Beds, couches, you name it. So that's another job. We just got another truck purchased for us from that gentleman. He just has one big heart. And so that we can continue to do this. So, yeah, so that's what we, let's see what else we, okay, so that's just, I'm going to end on that part, but continue talking. So, yeah, so we're very thankful. We're very thankful for the body of Christ that comes together to serve. And not only that, I was talking about Teen Challenge earlier, right? So we pay for people to go to a rehab. We prefer to, you know, if they're open, they will go to some that will bring some real healing. So our last two girls we sent there, one just got freshly out of jail, and we paid for her to go to Teen Challenge. Her life is completely changed. She is restored back to her marriage, to her two children, and she is one of our main helpers. She's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. She started a Bible study down at Urban Hope, and she's doing amazing. So amazing. And so on that note, on Mondays we have a prayer time. So it's like a church and stuff, but it's not all set at one time. So I do Bible studies every day. I'm open. So from 10 to 11, we do a time of worship, we have a teaching, and we pray and minister to each other. Then we open the door and serve everybody. But the doors are always open. So you get tons of street people that come in for devotions. It's interesting, but it's fun. You know, it's like this, you're just real. You're just real. And they can ask the questions, and we talk it out together. We pray together. We pray for each other, you know, for physical healing. The one girl just fresh today, she goes, oh my gosh, I can't tell you. So she broke her leg from here to here. And we prayed for her. She goes, I had the best week ever, and I got movement. Thank you so much for you. She just said that today for your prayers. So that's just, I mean, tons of, I just, what came to my mind when we were at the bus terminal, this came to my mind, this story of this guy. He came to us. A lot of times the guys would come off the street and they said they would be running to come to meet us before we shut down on the streets. And they said, we just want prayer, which was wild, right? I remember one girl coming with her leg with a, what do you call that thing you walk with? Yeah, and she's like, I just tried so hard to get here so I can get some prayer today, right? And this other guy says, you know, my wallet just got stolen. I got a major amount of money in it. It's been gone for like 3 days. So I prayed for it to show up. Literally, before we finished packing up, he comes running up to us. I can't believe this. The wallet just showed up at my house, and it's been 3 days, and the chunk of money is still there. Like, just things like this. Why? What does the Word of God says? If you don't have, if you don't ask, right? And God wants to show that He's faithful and He loves Him. He loves everybody, even those He hasn't accepted yet, right? He loves us the same. We just haven't received His love yet, right? God so loved the world, He, you know, died for everybody, that none shall perish. I don't know who's going to perish or not. That's not for my decision to make. That's God. All I know is I'm supposed to love the person in front of me, right? And share His love with them, period. So, and that's what we do. And many people are open to prayer, many people. So Teen Challenge, phenomenal. We just had one of our girls, oh my gosh, Jen, So I've been working with her about 5 years, and I kept saying to Jen, she'd always show up late, and sometimes she would steal from us. And I said, Jen, sweetheart, we are here for you. Tell me when you're ready to go to rehab. We're here to pay for you. Because she wants to see her children. Okay, it's been 6 years. This Christmas, she overdosed in the washroom. We don't get many overdoses. Okay, I've had two the whole time we've been open. All right. The one we had overdose was Lionel. He overdosed on the land out in the front there. And people were crowned and went over and prayed for him. They noxed him twice, prayed for him, declare life to him, and then all of a sudden he perked up. And he was fine. Unfortunately, he was murdered 2 months later, just up the street. But I had a good God talk with him when I prayed for him, you know, and he came back to life. I'll tell you something, guys. I'm a lot more bolder sharing the gospel because I don't know if I'm going to see them tomorrow. I really don't. One of my guys, Stevie, was down at the bus terminal too. We do both Urban Hope and bus terminal. I took him to the hospital. We're helping him walking through the process of getting him to rehab. I gave him a cross. He gave his life to the Lord. I was working with him. And I remember the very last time I saw him, it was a cold day out on the streets. And he says, I'm still wearing the cross. I'm still wearing the cross. It's sweet to my heart, right? 2 days later, he was found dead underneath the bridge. If you guys remember, the guy froze to death by bridges, that was my buddy Stevie, right? And so, like I said, I could tell you stories after stories, but I was able to share the gospel. I was able to say, Jesus loves you. He has a call and purpose on your life. Are you willing to say yes? May them say the prayer with me. That's all, you know, pray with them and count, you know, however that looks. But there's just so much brokenness and hurting, right, that God's working there. I don't know how God encounters them at the end, but I know I got to do my part, and I'm real. I actually share hell with them too, but in relationship. So I don't turn and burn, brother or sister. I share it in relationship because I love them. Right? Because I love them. They're already living a hell here. Why would I want them to go to eternal hell? Right? And they know that. They know that. I share the gospel constantly. Even I have the whole room pray the prayer. That's fine, but they need to be discipled. That's why I always encourage people, come down, do relationship with people. We can only do so much. I've had two Bible studies going. You know, I got a couple more going. But, you know, people need to be discipled. We are called to make disciples. Right? We got to do life together. And life is stinky sometimes, but welcome to life, right? Our own family can drive us crazy sometimes. That's just normal, right? So Jen, when Jen showed up and she overdosed in the washroom, and we got her to the hospital, she was doing well. It took her like 3 days. They had to medicate her because it was a bad overdose. She gave her life to the Lord. We prayed for her. I said, Jen, are you willing to go get help now? We're here. She goes, I'm willing. So we had a wrap around her because the services are so hard to some of them to deal with, to get the certain things to get through the door, you know. She actually saw her children the first time this past Christmas after 6 years. Her mom allowed her in because she was going to rehab. She stayed clean because you have to pee clean, right? She stayed clean through the whole hall. She never touched drugs again since that overdose. And that was her fourth overdose. But our friend Jason died about 2 weeks before that in his tent. And she said, she felt God say to her, are you willing now? Because that can be you, right? And so I'm her pastor call. She calls me on Thursdays once a month. She's doing phenomenal. Her and her mom are best friends. And I said to her, my mom's a believer, which I, you know what was so amazing? Because I do funerals. And I'm like, where were you when they were alive? You know, it just blows my mind. I see all these family. I'm like, I didn't know family existed. And now I'm doing a funeral for them. And you know what was absolutely amazing? Driving up to Teen Challenging, holding on to Jen in the back seat with her hand, with her mom beside her, and we're praying for her and crying for her because she's full of anxiety, scared about going to Teen Challenge, right? And we're praying for her, and I actually get to connect with her real blood mom. Not at a funeral. Oh, it was like one of the best Christmas gifts ever. right? And now she's just, you know, and Teen Challenge is coming actually at the end of July. They're doing a presentation and she's one of them that's coming. So it's so awesome, right? So awesome. And I talked to her mom and I'm discipling mom. I said, there's nothing more powerful than a mother's prayer or a father's prayer. I mean, everything's powerful, prayer in general. There's nothing better than prayer, right? But look out for a mother's and father's prayer, right? So yeah, I just want to share, where am I on time frame? Time frame, yeah, time up. So I just want to share, and then I'll share the vision of that we wrote down for Urban Hope. But I just, you know, the scriptures that really motivate us is, of course, Isaiah 61. We are anointed to set the captives free, right? We, you know, to bring deliverance and healing to those that are in prison. Every one of us is anointed. If you've accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you're anointed to do this. Why? Because Jesus lives inside of you, right? I remember God saying to me that God doesn't live in heaven. Heaven lives in him. So if he lives inside of me, guess what I have access to? All of heaven. And what does the scripture says? I need to pull it down. Pull down as it is in heaven onto earth. Right? I know it's wild thing, the process. But, you know, I want to release his presence in everything I do. What did Jesus do when the storm of the boat? When the disciples were all freaking out and he's sleeping. He released the peace that was inside of him to the storm. He's inside of me, and there's a lot of storms going on, especially with our guys that show up. I want to be one of the most peaceful people. I've had people show up and say, this is the only place I can eat. I'm so full of anxiety everywhere else, but for some reason I can eat here because it's the presence of the Lord, right? Peace, shalom. One of the interpretations of shalom is destroyer of all chaos, right? And there's a lot of chaos going on with our brains and our emotions sometimes. But we want to release that peace. It's his peace. And so one of the scriptures that really motivates us is Psalms 82:3-4. You defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy, and deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. A lot of my guys' stories are brutal. What has happened to them? I want to see them loved. I was talking earlier, what's the greatest form of warfare? Is love. Enemy can't touch love. It disorients him, right? So when we love, we take them out of the hand of the enemy. How are we living torturous? Right? I mean, if somebody wants to just look up, if you want to look up Isaiah, or somebody does, Isaiah 58:6-10. It's the fast. Everybody knows that fast, but it's good, right? And I'll tell you when. Together with Jesus, we deliver the poor. Again, it takes a community. It takes a community, right? To deliver the poor from the wicked. And God says we're always going to have the poor among us. You know why? Because they minister to us. We need them. You know, the poor know they're blind. The poor know they're naked. The poor know they're hungry. And when I'm hanging out with them, guess what they teach me? That I'm naked, that I'm blind, and I'm hungry, and I need to be desperate on my God. They walk out with a backpack, and a lot of times that backpack's stolen. Right? They deliver us from ourselves. I wanted to read one scripture. We know the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:3-4 says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his ways and his rules. You're blessed when you feel you're lost, what is most dear to you. Only then can you find and embrace the one who's most dear to you, and that's Jesus. Some of them, they give their life to the Lord. It's easy for them because they're not hanging on to all this other stuff, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for poor in spirit, you're seeing our deep need to be totally dependent upon a God for everything, yet possessing nothing. But we possess him, so we have everything. And they teach me this. They teach me this. You know, they come in smelly and stinky. I love them, but no one judges them. You know, they don't have the fine clothes. Maybe some of the Nigerians, I guess, wear good stuff. But you know what I'm saying. They're not trying, as the scripture says, we're not trying to save our lives, but to lose our lives. The poor teach me that. They do. I need the poor to teach me. I remember, this is another heartbreak, last Christmas I lost one of my close guys, old man James. I used to have some great talks with him. He died in his tent. And one of my last talks, he was actually a drug dealer for a while. And I was sitting down at the picnic table with him, and he's telling me, because they're all in relationship with each other, and so-and-so's there, and he's telling me about, they all got street names, right? So he's telling me about Kitty and what she's up to, and her over there, and this situation. And there was a girl that wanted some pot off some guy, and she goes, watch that, that guy's gonna walk up and give her something for free, just so that he noticed that he's noticed by her. And then he looks at me and he goes, you know what the greatest high is? This is a drug dealer, okay, guys? Do you know what the greatest high is? I'm just listening to him. He goes, it's being loved. That's what he said to me. Tell me if that doesn't speak volumes to you, right? And I remember one of the times we lost our dog. We were pretty upset. You know, if you guys lost an animal, they're part of the house. They're part of the family, right? 40%. Yeah.
It was crushed.
It was crushed. And I remember sitting in the clothing room, and I was sitting there, and then this homeless guy comes up to me and goes, I heard you lost your dog. And he says, he looks at me and goes, do not numb your feelings. That's what he says to me. Do not numb your feelings. Because you know what happens when you numb your feelings? You live black and white. He says, you need to feel your pain. Because when you feel your pain, you live in color. He says, I've numbed my pain. And when I started to feel it again, I actually could feel joy and pain again. I'm telling you, they speak these things into my life that just fathoms me. Right? You need to have ears. Don't judge. Remember, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, and they keep me humble. They keep me real. It's interesting, and I'm going to end here, and then I'm going to share Urban Hope's vision. But I find it interesting that when Jesus talked to Andrew and Peter in Matthew something, when he said, come and be fishers of men, he said, come, follow me, right? Be fishers of men. He didn't say, come follow me, I'll take you to church. He didn't. He didn't even say, come follow me, I have this great job to do. Yes, we do, but you know what I mean? He didn't say that. Or come follow me, you're going to receive all your healing, or I'm going to lead you to the Father. Yep, that takes place. He said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And in the midst of following me and making you fishers of men, guess what happens to me? I get my heart healed. I encounter the Father, and I feel my purpose. Powerful. Don't you find that powerful? It was a real eye-opener to me. Do you want to read Isaiah 58:6-10?
58?
Isaiah 58. It's the fast, 6-10. Or anybody has it. Do you need a mic?
Sure. I can't see it. I need glasses.
Is this not the fast which I chose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry? Bring the homeless poor into the house, when you are to see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday.
Amen. You know what? I want to shine Jesus. Why are we on this earth? Mm-hmm. Why? You know why we're here? To have a relationship with him, the first commandment. And out of that, we live the second commandment. We can't do the second without doing the first. Because God is love. And God is essence of love. So you can't separate it. Right? And if I'm spending time in intimacy with him, then I want to love those that are in front of me, right? Because if you don't love, you don't know God. That's what scripture says. It's tough, but that's the word of God, right? And so, talking about the poor, I mean, he calls us, there are poor. When I see someone there, he's my poor. He's in my community, he's my poor, right? And as it says in, I also, it's a tough scripture, Proverbs 21:13, if you close your heart to the cries of the poor, then I'll close my ears when you cry out. Oh, what an eye opener, right? And that's just not, I mean, you could be rich and be poor, right? It's the loneliness of the heart. But I'm here to, you know, love all my neighbors. I have interesting neighbors too, right? Everywhere I go, it's not just this. But I feel, and I tell my volunteers that come in, we are blessed to be here today. We are blessed that we can love those that are in front of us. So let's uplift. What does God come with? A plan and a purpose to prosper. It's Jeremiah 29:11, right? The enemy comes to come and kill, steal, and destroy. So we are here to stop the enemy, and we're going to do it through love. We're going to do it through love. So the vision of Urban Hope, I was just pulling this up, and I read it this morning to our volunteers to refresh them because they got to sign off on this when they become a volunteer. But in Matthew 25:31-46, it says, Jesus tells us that to truly know God, we are called to embody his compassionate heart towards the lost, the poor, the down and out, and the oppressed, the vulnerable, the orphans, and the fatherless. In fact, by loving and caring for others, we are directly loving God. Powerful. So Jesus did everything through compassion, even when he was having his issue in the temple, right? Oh, it's my father's house. But he did everything in compassion because he's love. Compassion means to suffer with. When we identify with the sufferings of the vulnerable around us, is literally actually makes us come alive into the whole different kind of connection and relationship with Jesus. When I walk through somebody that's been horrifically abused, and I see the living God encounter them, it ministers to my heart so deeply. Do you understand? It's that whole thing, come follow, come make me fishers of men. Urban Hope should always be a place where God's heart of love and compassion leads to every action and every decision. We desire to communicate his values to every person at all times. We live to promote others always. This means our value of people will always, and I said this to our guys, obviously we got to limit things because sometimes people will come and take 20 clothing items, right? And say, hey, brother, we got to save some for so-and-so. But if you feel unction from the Lord, then do it. You know, we might be short on food, but this family just came in and they're really in need and you're feeling, God, I got to give them a lot more hampers, then do it. Over trump the rule. The rule is love. Like you drive on a road, we got rules. Just keep us all safe, right? That's life. But I mean, love is our ultimate rule. Does that make sense? So we'll always trump the value system. Oh, sorry, I better say that. This means that our value of people always trump the system. We will honor the governing bodies that license us, but our integrity before the Lord and the community compels us to honor the poor as first and highmost within the Lord. Loving our God who gave his all for us, we too will give our all. God gave his all for us. Is there anything else God can do for us? Tell me one thing he can do for us. He's done it all. I always say to our guys, you get to choose how much of God as you want. It's your choice. I can have as much of him as I want because he gave his all for me. I can't blame God, right? He gave his all, therefore we give our all. Our focus is not to preserve by being stingy, but be like him, to be abundant givers, to be a joyful giveaway that he provides. God will provide. If we run out, and we do, there is no shame in saying we gave it all away. The atmosphere in Urban Hope will be a safe place for voices to be heard, stories to be shared, and a place to encounter God and, most importantly, his God and his love. We don't consider the poor a project. They are our neighbors. They are our friends, an essential part of our community we live in. The truth is, they are near the heartbeat of our God. Right? I end with this scripture in Luke 14:12-15. Jesus also said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not just invite your friends or your brother or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors. Lest they also invite you in return. That's true. And so you are paid back. But when you give a banquet or a banquet, invite the poor, the disabled, the lame, the blind. Then you will be blessed because they have no way of repaying you back. And you'll be brought back into the resurrection of the day when Jesus returned, when all of those who reclined with him heard this. He said to him, blessed are those who shall eat in the bread of the kingdom of God. I want to eat in the kingdom of God's bread. So if I don't get anything returned back here, you know, guys, I get stuff stolen from me. I've had my credit card stolen. Remember that? Amanda gave it back. Well, our boyfriend did. Thank God it didn't get used. I've had, because I was driving them around, getting them tent, campsite, the house, and then she went under my seat of my car when I went to go get something, grab my wallet, you know, but then her boyfriend came back 2 months later holding it in her hand, crying, and then she said how sorry she was. I've had both of my phones stolen. Welcome to life. Do you know what I mean? But if you live the Beatitudes, what belongs to you? Now, don't get me wrong, I got to use wisdom. I'm not saying not to use wisdom. But I'm telling you, if people are giving their life to the Lord and they're counting the living God and their family's restored, I say you can take my phone. I don't want you to take my phone, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? And that takes place. So we're in the front lines. We are. I mean, the other day we had them steal our copper pipes off our generator. It cost us $4,000, right? And we had to run and get it done before we lost $4,000 of food in our freezer. But that's just two people. They ended up getting busted because they went down to Barnacle Bill's, the fish place, too, and did the same night. You know, but anyway, I still bless them and I release them. You know, that was the whole thing because they were upset because all the refugees are coming in and they're thinking they're taking all their food, and then they went and did something to the food bank too, right? But that's their hurt, narrowed mind. You know, but if I'm going to let an evil act control my love for somebody, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not mature. So we continue to press through, and we continue to love, and we continue to want to lead people into living encounters with the living God who died to give them everything. Amen. So I think that's 30 minutes.
So we'll open it up for Q&A. If there are any questions for the next few moments that you want to ask our guests.
Church, and where is the Vineyard Church? 147 Elgin Street North. So we're right across from Soper Park. I was going to say Churchill for a minute. Yeah.
We're located the old, at one time, it was the old Jesuit monastery. So we bought the property there back in 2002. So we're in the lower, establishment there. That's where we run our base of operations.
Yeah, come see us anytime. The next project we're heading into is we're really trying to get another shower. So the showers, no one gives showers. Even Bridges is all men's, right? But women, there's nothing for women. Nothing for women around here. You got to go to Kitchener. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, come. That just shows us, you know, myself, and then if you want to give, and how that works there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and if we're not open at that time, then we're usually always somebody's in there because we got to sort clothes and do all that pickups and drop-offs. But there is a bin out front, the big nice blue bin that was actually donated from us from CP, which was really nice because the other one was really rotting. But the people start fires in there and they're going to wash them in there. I'm telling you, you still have your challenges. You know, so... Yeah.
Is that where you serve the meals after?
Yes, so 147 Elgin Street, right at the bottom of the Vineyard there. So
that's quite away from downtown.
Yeah, but they make their way. They make their way. So I know, yeah, many times we were praying whether we should move downtown or not, but the Lord has kept us there for now. We don't know what tomorrow looks like, right? But that's where we are. Yeah. What's that? Demonic activity? Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. And, you know, so we bind up things before we pray. I love it. I'm an intercessor. We make sure things, we walk the property all the time and pray over the property, right? Yeah, I had a nice encounter at Christmas time. A girl came in, and it was interesting. And but we got her off the property and have her to bind things up. And I don't want to say anything because there's kids here, but it was not. It wasn't a cakewalk, but unfortunately, she's just passed away. Actually, 3 weeks ago, she died underneath the bridge, overdose. But she was definitely demonized. So yeah. My heart gives out to her. We were there to pray with her, walk her through stuff. You know, she prayed with us, gave her life to the Lord, prayed for the Holy Spirit, but then she was just, oh, it was something. Yeah. Yeah, well, our warfare's not against flesh and blood, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. What is your process for volunteering?
So our process, I usually say for people to come down first and feel it out. And then as you become part of the family, you enjoy it. You know what I mean? We're a family of Christ, but you really love it down there. We will then walk you through the volunteer process.
To just go and sit and chat?
Sit and chat, hang out. If we could.
You don't need a background check?
Oh, not for coming down, sitting and chatting, unless you're doing something really wacko. No. No, well, we do. We have people come down and they start their cults down there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we have to keep an eye on that. Right? So yeah, but you're coming down doing life and just hanging out. Oh man, we cheer that on. Right? Suppers are usually 6 till 8:30. So I would recommend if you're gonna come do suppers, do with Jeff's group, M2M. He does 6 to 8:30 at night. And if you do like it and you wanna help him out, Jeff and Rachel are amazing. They'll be on site. Because I find his Presence Church has all the help they need. They come with like 20 volunteers. So they're pretty set.
What nights are those?
That's Wednesday nights. His Presence does his Wednesday nights. So, yeah. But anyway, guys, give us your clothes. Just kidding. Say families? I've hung out with Safe Families and connected and went to their meetings and we haven't really branched off yet. Like, I'm in good relationship with the lady that runs Safe Families. I think there was one that really joined in with them, but they haven't really called on us, but we're there. You know, I said we're there, we're willing. And we had also another friendship circle that we did that for a little bit. They came out of Kitchener Christian Group, but then they just kind of phased off or something. So, but I love connecting to other, like I go see in Dwell all the time. They have an apartment up the road. I love partnering. I love connecting the body of Christ. Well, we need each other and we need each other with our strengths. Right? So, yeah, because I have, I forget what her ministry is. She just changed it. But she comes down and does Bible studies on Tuesdays when I'm open. And it's phenomenal.
Right?
Being houseless, I would say more of them are homeless than anything else. Yeah, I would say a good 70% are homeless more than, and then you just have the poor, the working poor, the poor. Yeah. Oh, there's so much homelessness. Oh, it's awful. Right. So, and families, it's whole families. Sometimes it's awful. Right. We try our hardest, what we can do. Right. So, and it's just getting worse. And I don't want to speak that out, but you guys know what the housing looks like out there, right?
So, having done community with homeless people, is your advice or recommendation when we are approached by someone asking for money, should we be giving them money?
I would say that between you and God, in the sense of, I give the money. I give them, but I pray over the money. And pray over, I pray His presence, and I believe I can release, you know, if I do it with a right heart attitude. Okay, you tell me that story, okay, a true story. So there was a guy that came to me, he wanted some money, I gave him a fair amount of money, I don't remember, I gave him $100 or something, I can't remember. And I knew he was going to use it on drugs, totally knew it. But the Lord, I felt to give it to him, okay, I prayed over it, blessed him, that God would use it for His plans and purposes. The guy ended up giving his life to the Lord, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, or something like that. And he ended up connecting with Nancy. They ended up getting married, one of our girls. And he came up to me. He says, you know what? When you gave me that money, you don't realize how that spoke to me, that you chose to trust me even though I wasn't trustworthy. And yes, I did go get drugs with it. He says, but God encountered me in that time because you chose to trust me when I was untrustworthy. Doesn't that God do that for us? He chose to trust us when we're not trustworthy. So, like I say to everything, you really just need to wait on the Lord. I give it to them because I want the best for them. Are they probably going to go to you? I'm not saying they're not going to. But I always say, like, even when they come and take the food and the clothes and they might leave it out on the campsites, which I'm not crazy about, obviously. But if I give it freely and I pray over it. Am I going to try to teach them life skills not to do it? 100%. Do I go help clean up areas? Sometimes, yes. Right? But every situation's different.
Some